Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Bruce Kay, and today we're going to talk about one of my favorite foods, and that is fry bread. So, Bruce, what is your tribal affiliation?
I'm a tribal member of the Navajo Nation, but I'm also Hopi on my father's side.
Okay. From what I understand, fry bread originated with the Navajo people. Have you heard that story?
That's the rumor, yes.
That's the rumor?
Yes. And, you know, a lot of it came through contact with the European culture, particularly the Spanish people who came up through us from the south. And at one point during our story, we were all rounded up by Kit Carson and taken over to Bas Redondo, Fort Sumner. And that's where they tried to change us from hunter-gatherers to becoming agrarian people, learn us the farming techniques of Spanish people. And so there was a lot of foods that were introduced from that culture to our culture, and fry bread was one of them.
Yeah, because I think it's a lot of it is things that we would recognize today as commodity foods, foods that were given in huge quantities, and you went from having a really diverse diet to these really specific staples that were given to the people that were incarcerated there in Bas Redondo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it was. And that came through the War Department, because the War Department was the first organization in this country that had to contend with American Indian people before they turned it over to the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
So fry bread has a really tragic beginning, a really hard and sad start, but it really has become, you know, kind of a unifier for Indian people all over the United States. At least, as far as I know, it seems like everywhere I go where there's an Indian gathering, fry bread is a feature.
It is. It is. And yes, it is quite tragic. So we have to take things into consideration when we consider what's happening to our people because of the high rates of diabetes, alcoholism. And those are the two things that really, for me, point to just a movement away from the traditional foods that we used to eat.
And so growing up in the Hopi Reservation there in Arizona, what sorts of food did you eat growing up?
Oh, don't get me started here.
We're going to start salivating here, I have a feeling.
Yeah, right. Well, as I said, I am an enrolled member of the Navajo tribe, my mother being Navajo. And so I wasn't raised on the Navajo reservation. I was raised on the Hopi reservation, my father's reservation. So we came to live with his mother and father. And so grandma would fix a lot of foods with corn, because corn's a staple for both Navajo and Hopi, but Hopi in particular. One of the things that happened over time was that Navajo people tended to adapt and adopt certain foods from the Hopi culture, Puebloan culture, actually, to be precise, because there are other Puebloan tribes that lived in New Mexico, and many Navajos also live in close proximity to those tribes. So blue corn was a real staple for us. We had a thing called biki. Biki is a wafer thin, just really good, tasty, and food. And in the beginning, before the advent of European cultures coming over, everything came from the earth. There was nothing that was left unused. We used everything. So venison, deer, was very pretty prominent in our culture. We had wild spinach. That was another real good staple and favorite. And then sheep was eventually introduced to us, so we started eating mutton. And so there was a lot of different foods that came to us later on as fruit trees started to come, like grapes were introduced to us. We had peaches. We had watermelon. There was a lot of different kinds of melons that we ate as well. Chilies was really abundant as well. Beans also became a staple. Green and pinto and other types of beans, white beans, so forth and so on. And then hominy was also developed at that time through corn. So we had this, Mexican people call pozole. And in Hopi, we call it nukwivi. Nukwivi is just basically pozole. And it's really tasty, and you can put whatever you want into it. And grandma always made it either with venison or with mutton. And so it was a real staple. Grandma also baked bread. And it was, again, another type of food that was introduced to us through the European culture. And it was yeast bread. But we loved it. I mean, it was just all that good stuff. There's another thing that Grandma would make, and it was called sumiviki. All of this was made with blue corn. And mixed in with the blue corn, I have to note, was that they also put in cedar ash, because it was very nutritious and very very good for the body. Because, again, we recognized the interconnections with everything that we had, and so we knew certain things that were made together, you know, like the corn, the water, and the juniper ash. Those three combinations really caused us to have real good memory, good retention of memories, to think straight, and our bodies were benefited greatly from those foods that we ate.
Were there a lot of foods that were foraged for that grew wild in the area that were
there
gathered?
There were onions that we would go for. There was this thing we called hassoli. It wasn't necessarily a food, but it was from a cottonwood tree. And that's where a lot of the cotton for our people came about as well. Juniper berries, there were certain times of the year. Pinyon nuts was very abundant, so we ate a lot of that. And, so those are the kinds of foods that I remember growing up eating.
So when you ate pinyon nuts, did you roast them and just kind of snack on them?
Yeah, that was an important snack. It was also used to cook with, cooking with other foods. So very, very nutritious. The pine needles were very, had a lot of vitamin C in it. So to stave off any kinds of colds and that, we would suck on the pine leaves.
And it had kind of a tart flavor to it?
Yes, it did. It was great. I mean, I really like that flavor of that. So.
And did you make a tea out of that? Or
sometimes tea was made out of it, absolutely.
Okay. And so you you ate mutton when you were growing up because you raised sheep. Mm-hmm. Did you eat lamb at all? Did you eat the younger ones, or were there?
No, that was really frowned upon. You know, something that we believed that that young one should grow up to become an adult. And so we did not favor eating lamb. Some people may have that, but I don't know about that. Once we moved to the cities, you know, a lot of our diets like changed.
Sure.
Boarding school also changed, particularly our diets, because it was at that time that you start to see a lot of different kinds of commodity foods, as it's called now. Today, it's that packaged foods that young people are engaging in. They're very similar to kinds of diets that we had over time.
When you went to boarding school, how far was that from where your family was?
5 miles east of where I was raised.
And did you come home every day?
No.
I mean, it was boarding school, so I guess not.
Yeah, right. We had to stay there for almost 9 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes on weekends, but mostly on holidays we would go. And the interesting thing is that, you know, the people always ask, well, do you guys celebrate all of the traditional holidays? It depends on whose tradition you're asking, right? We have our own traditions. We celebrate the transitions of seasons. So we would celebrate winter solstice. We celebrate spring equinox. We celebrate summer solstice. And we also celebrate the fall equinox.
Uh-huh.
And each of those connote ceremony, songs, and dancing, and foods. Food is probably one of the important things when you're holding gatherings. Food should always be included, because it gives one an appreciation of the sustenance that our mother, this earth, gives to us. And we express an appreciation for her giving of herself to us in that way.
And is corn part of your ceremony?
Absolutely. Corn is a staple, as I mentioned earlier, in the Southwest. A very important part of that. So it was revered because, again, it is our body. I mean, the corn in and of itself is a metaphor for who we are as human beings, the physical part of ourselves, but also the spirit that comes in. That has to also be an important part of our consideration in our connection to the foods that we eat.
Yeah. This has been a great opportunity to talk to you, Bruce Kay, about growing up in Hopi and Navajo country and learning about the foods that you ate growing up. Let's come back next week and talk some more about the fry bread. I'm really interested in hearing more about that, too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.